All right. There you go.
Hey, very good. Were you busy today?
Nope.
No, we weren't either. I was just cooking and I was running on. Okay, first
Sorry, I
chapter
lost you there for a
30.
second, Dad.
Yeah, chapter 32, right?
Wait, hold on. I didn't hear anything you said, though.
Oh, okay. Let me check
Said
the
that
phone.
you were cooking, and then that was the last
Oh,
thing I heard.
I said I was running late on the cooking. It was taking longer than I thought it would. I had some
Oh.
potatoes in the oven, and sometimes they're hard to time. So I knew I was going to need a little
Yeah,
more
no
time.
problem. I didn't do anything except yard work today. That's about
No,
it.
no. Okay.
We
Well,
are on.
you got another day off tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
good.
We are on what, 31, right?
Thirty-two.
I thought it was 31. Let me look at my
Look
website
at
real quick.
your website. Well, last time I wrote not only what we did, but what we're going to do next time. It says 32, so I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong again.
Let me see. Hold on. Yeah, we're on 31. Carl, what do
Okay,
you
I'll
have?
do.
I have that we went from
All right, I'll do
27 to
31.
I have that we
Go to
went from
30.
I have that we went from 27 to 30 last time.
Oh, okay. I will read 31. Ah, those who go down to Egypt for help and rely upon horses, they put their trust in abundance of chariots. In vast numbers of riders, and they've not turned to the Holy One of Israel. They have not sought the Lord. But he too is wise. He has brought on misfortune and has not canceled his word. So he shall rise against the house of evildoers and the allies of the workers of iniquity. For the Egyptians are man, not God, and their horses are flesh, not spirit. And when the Lord stretches out his arm, the helper shall trip. And the helped one shall fall, and both shall perish together. For thus said the Lord, for thus the Lord has said to me, as a lion, a great beast, growls over its prey, and when the shepherds gather in force against them, is not dismayed by their cries, nor cowed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts will descend to make war against the mount and the hill of Zion. Like the birds that fly, even so will the Lord of hosts shield Jerusalem. Shielding and saving, protecting and rescuing. Return, O children of Israel, to him to whom they have been so shamefully false. For in that day everyone will reject his idols of silver and idols of gold, which your hands have made for your guilt. Then Assyria shall fall, not by the sword of man, a sword not of humans shall devour him. He shall shrivel before the sword, and his young men pine away. His rock shall melt with terror, and his officers shall collapse from weakness, declares the Lord, who has a fire in Zion, who has an oven in Jerusalem. I noticed there's one thing I noticed that maybe you did too, John. In verse 4, it says, For thus the Lord has said to me, as a lion, a great beast growls over its prey. And when the shepherds gather and force it, so the Lord of hosts will descend to make war against the mount and the hill of Zion. So on the one hand, he's talking about making war against the mount and hill of Zion. And then in verse 6, he, or verse 5 rather, he says, even the Lord will shield Jerusalem, shielding and saving, protecting and rescuing.
Yeah,
And
mine doesn't say that.
what does it say?
Mine says, so the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion on and for its hill.
Yeah, it could. That's what I was thinking. It may mean that. It sounds like he's doing two contradictory things. But then I was thinking, well, it doesn't
What
necessarily.
does yours say again?
It says to make war against the mountain hill of Zion.
It's a strange translation.
It says, well, to make war, Al Har Zion means actually upon Mount Zion. It's not against. It says that the Lord will come down to make war upon Mount Zion. But yeah, it's a strange. I don't know what they were trying to point out there. I think it could mean against those who are surrounding Mount Zion, the enemies. But I know traditionally it would make a lot more sense too if it was that he would come down to make war. What does yours say for Mount Zion? For, yeah.
To
Well,
fight for Mount Zion and for its hill.
it's that one preposition all, which maybe has a probably has a lot of just like a lot of our prepositions, they can imply a lot of different things. So it's going to depend how you look at it. Chapter 32. Behold, the king shall reign in righteousness, and ministers shall govern with justice. Everyone will be like a refuge from gales, a shelter from rainstorms, like brooks of water in a desert, like the shade of a massive rock in a languishing land. You were going to say something, John.
No.
Oh,
No.
okay. Then the eyes of those who have sight shall not be sealed, and the ears of those who have hearing shall listen, and the minds of the thoughtless shall attend and note, and the tongues of mumblers shall speak with fluent eloquence. No more shall the villain be called noble, nor shall gentleman be said of a knave, for the villain speaks villainy and plots treachery to act impiously and to preach disloyalty against the Lord. To leave the hungry unsatisfied and deprive the thirsty of drink. As for the knave, his tools are knavish. He forges plots, destroy the poor with falsehoods, and the needy when they plead their cause. But the noble has noble intentions and is constant in noble acts. You carefree women, attend, hear my words. You confident ladies, give ear to my speech. In little more than a year, you shall be troubled, O confident ones. When the vintage is over and no ingathering takes place, tremble, you carefree ones. Quake, O confidence ones. Strip yourselves naked. Put the cloth about your loins. Lament upon the breasts for the pleasant fields, for the spreading grapevines, for my people's soil. It shall be overgrown with briars and thistles. Aye, and for all the houses of delight, for the city of mirth. For the castle shall be abandoned, the noisy city forsaken. Citadel and tower shall become bare places forever, a stamping ground for wild asses, a pasture for flocks, till the spirit from on high is poured out on us, and wilderness is transformed into farmland. While farmland rates as mere brush, then justice shall abide in the wilderness, and righteousness shall dwell on farmland. For the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness calm and confidence forever. Then my people shall dwell in peaceful homes and secure dwellings, in untroubled places of rest, and the brush shall sink and vanish even as the city is laid low. Happy shall you be who sow by all waters, who send out cattle and asses to pasture. There's a couple. This is obviously describing, well, maybe not obviously, appears to me to be describing the millennial reign when he says, Behold, the king shall reign in righteousness.
Yeah, that's what I took from it.
And it he says it's like a refuge from gales, a shelter from rainstorms. It'll be like that. And When you see the description, and he goes on to say that the impious and the disloyal and will they're going to be removed from the things they're doing than the knavish person who it destroys the poor with falsehoods, it says. So there's a word of peace here, something to look forward almost to how the world will have this ruler who rules in righteousness and puts down all of oppress other people. At the same time, there's a warning to those who are carefree, which is interesting that it goes there and talks about the transformations that will be taking place. It's hard. It's. I think there was another passage. I don't know if we read it a couple of weeks ago, where it talked about the farmland being grown over with briars, and then but it would be good for feeding sheep, and maybe and
I
that
don't
the.
recall that.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. It may be my from my own reading in Jeremiah. Sometimes these things get mixed together, and I don't have a reference. But I don't really understand. I can't tell from this exactly what the. It just says wilderness is transformed into farmland, and farmland rates as mere brush. So. There's, it's not that there won't be farmland, but it's going to be in different places than it was originally, which is a kind of strange things. But it says justice shall abide in the wilderness, and righteousness shall dwell in the farmland. Even as the city
Oh,
is.
no, you're right. That is Isaiah. Isaiah 7:25.
What does it say?
It says, you will not go there for fear of briars and thorns, but it will become a range for oxen and a place for sheep to roam.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to think of the connection between this chapter and the last one, because I got from the first one that there was a obviously a warning against trusting in earthly comforts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the first line, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on
Okay.
horses, right? Who trust in chariots and horsemen. So in other words, we are going down to Egypt, which is always a symbol of
World.
the world. We're relying on horses and chariots and the number of them and stuff like that. And then there's a warning against relying on the world. And then in this chapter, there's a warning against complacency.
Yeah, and there is a relationship.
Yeah,
At least
and
I think there is, because in both cases, it reveals a lack of faith in the Lord or trust in the Lord. If you're going to Egypt, you're
right.
afraid, but you're going to earthly rulers or helps to deliver you from the thing that you fear. When you're complacent, it's like you're trusting in the things that you have, whatever it might be. In this case, the productivity of the ground, the grapevines and the farmland. That's why he says, lament for the pleasant fields, for the spreading grapevines, for my people's soil, it shall be overgrown with briars and thistles. The thing that they're relying or becoming complacent on is the fact that they're relying on this thing that they're taking for granted, the productivity of the soil, instead of relying on the Lord who gives the blessing for the soil. And what God is saying, there's
That's
going
a
to
good
be
point.
a
Yeah,
change in the nature of the soil. It's not that you're not going to have a farmland, but it's not going to be the thing you're relying on. It's going to be restructured, so to speak. And it'll be a challenge
That's
to
a
the
good
people.
point. It's because there is this abundance of things that we can rely on, the reliance engenders complacency.
Yes, it does. I don't think there would be if it, there wouldn't be no grounds for complacency if it weren't that way.
Yeah, and I think that that's probably our problem today is one of
Yeah.
complacency to a great extent.
I think in the church that's definitely true. Even well, yeah, everywhere. Don't you take 33, John?
Woe to you who plunder, though you have not been plundered, and you who deal treacherously, though they have not dealt treacherously with you. When you cease plundering, you will be plundered. When you make an end of dealing treacherously, they will deal treacherously with you. O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. At the noise of the tumult, the people shall flee. When you lift yourself up, the nations shall be scattered, and your plunder shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, as the running to and fro of the locust. He shall run upon them. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Surely their valiant ones shall cry outside. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highways lie waste. The traveling man ceases. He has broken the covenant. He has despised the cities. He regards no man. The earth mourns and languishes. Lebanon is shamed and shriveled. Sharon is like a wilderness. And Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. Now I will rise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up. You shall conceive chaff. You shall bring forth stubble. Your breath as fire shall devour you. And the peoples shall be like the burning of lime. Like thorns cut up, they shall be burned in the fire. Hear, you who are afar off, what I have done. And you who are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrite. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands, refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him. His water will be sure. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will see the land that is very far off. Your heart will meditate on terror. Where is the scribe? Where is he who weighs? Where is he who counts the towers? You will not see a fierce people, a people of obscure speech beyond perception, of a stammering tongue that you cannot understand. Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feasts. Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a quiet home, a tabernacle that will not be shaken down. Not one of its stakes will ever be removed, nor will any of its cords be broken. But there the majestic Lord will be for us, a place of broad rivers and streams in which no galley with oars will sail, nor majestic ships pass by. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Your tackle is loosed, they could not strengthen their mast, they could not spread the sail. Then the prey of great plunder is divided, the lame take the prey, and the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. The people who dwell in it will be forgiven their iniquity. There's, let me go back over this. I'm on verse 12 now. I'm just scanning through it again. Oh, I liked these verses here. Who shall dwell in the everlasting? Yeah, I think beginning in 15, he who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, and I like how it mentions, not allowing your ears to hear of bloodshed or allowing your eyes to see evil. And
Yeah, I think there's a psalm that says things like something like that too.
yeah, I was thinking about something like that this morning when I was cutting the grass. I guess
Really?
that's why it struck out for me, the one about the stopping your ear, or shutting your eyes from seeing evil and stopping your ears. I guess it's not exactly the same, but I was thinking about that for some reason when I was cutting the grass, how whenever we hear of some tragic thing or some horrific event or something, some news story that's terrible, everybody wants to share that with other people. And it's like, if you were polluted with that information, you should protect others from possibly not being polluted with it as well, instead of, sharing the gory details with your wife. Perhaps she does, you know what I mean? You could protect or shield other people from it. And I was thinking about that because the Bible doesn't say that. What does the Bible say? If there's anything good and pure
The things that, yeah, I
and
was thinking of
righteous,
that verse too.
meditate on those things, right?
And God of peace will keep you.
And I think that that's important. It's not, oh man, I heard that there was this crazy car accident and all these people died. It's like, that's not what the Bible says that we should be focusing on, right?
No, and you know what I think it is? That when you focus on the accident per se, it's not like you're not focusing on God's mercy. You're focusing on, you're expressing sort of either a belief in the randomness of the world order. That almost like isn't this an example of how there is no God? There is no justice in the world. How could these things happen?
I
Or
think that's
you're
really
looking for
profound.
some person that you want to pin it on, but God is out of the equation completely.
That's really interesting. Either you're looking for someone to blame, or you're highlighting the complete arbitrariness of the
Yeah, because
world.
I don't think Paul, when he says to think on whatever is good and pure and holy,
Yeah.
think on those things instead of the things that are the opposites of those. I don't think he's saying, well, be an ostrich, stick your head in the ground and not pretend that there is no, that's not the point. The point is just not to allow those things that seem to imply there is no God to draw you into that kind of
Oh, that's a good
attitude.
distinction. I like what you said. So it's not, there are car accidents and people dying all around me, but I'm going to think about the family picnic next week or something like that. That's
That would be kind of ridiculous. You couldn't do that.
right.
You have to be reasonable.
I think people do try to do that, where they just walk through the world with rose-tinted glasses. But to what you were saying with Paul, it's okay to acknowledge that there's
Well, even
seeming chaos, all around us, but you can still see God's hand in
You have to
that.
see God in it and think on him and think on the good as opposed to thinking on the evil.
Right, so it
Don't dwell
shouldn't
on
be.
those as if you had no hope, you know.
Yes, right. So it's the emphasis shouldn't be, oh man, this 3-year-old died in the car accident. That's not the emphasis, right? It should be these people died, but when I can't think of something off the top of my head, but my point is we should, as Christians, if there's anything pure, righteous, holy, meditate on those things. And it's not
You
turning
got
a
a
blind,
choice? Yeah. Don't
it's
become
not.
pre don't become preoccupied with the evil. It doesn't mean you're not aware of it, but don't let your mind dwell on it all the time. There's an interesting Jewish tale. It's they always have these little stories. There's this rabbi and one of his disciples are going on this journey, and they come to this body of water that it's pretty deep. You can wade it, but it's about 5 feet deep, so it'll come up to your neck. And there's this woman there who wants to get across. So she can't do it. She doesn't have any way to get across. So the rabbi says, "Well, I can put you on my shoulders. I'll carry you across the river." So he carries her across the river, lets her down. Then the disciple and the rabbi continue on their way. Well, that evening they're getting ready. You know, they're stopping for the night. They're unloading their bags. And the disciple says to the rabbi, "You know, something's been bothering me all day. I'm sorry, I've got to ask you, Rabbi." He says, "But how could a holy man like you allow that woman to sit on your shoulders?" And the rabbi says to the disciple, he says, "Well, that woman, I carried that woman on my shoulders for 15 minutes, but you've been carrying her in your mind for the whole day." You get the point. It's what you're dwelling on. It's a little different in this case. But you know, it's why was he bothered? Because he was thinking of the possible, you know, sexual implications or temptations or whatever. But it didn't have to be that way. Dwelling on it made it that way because it dominated your mind in the con, you know, as a result. That's the only thing you were thinking about.
I like that. Again, that's something that is so hard to do. I think it's a human tendency to always, we love these types of stories, but it's all negative and bad, and then we infect other people with it, and that's the exact opposite of what scripture tells us to do. That's my point. Should we take 34 and
Yeah, I have to take 34.
all right.
"Approach, O nations, and listen. Give heed, O peoples. Let the earth and those in it hear the world and what it brings forth. For the Lord is angry at all the nations, furious at all their host. He has doomed them, consigned them to slaughter. Their slain shall be left lying, and the stench of their corpses shall mount, and the hills shall be drenched with their blood. All the host of heaven shall molder, the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll, and all their hosts shall wither, like a leaf withering on the vine, or shriveled fruit on a fig tree. For my sword shall be drunk in the sky. The Lord shall come down upon Edom, upon the people I have doomed, to wreak judgment. The Lord has a sword. It is sated with blood. It is gorged with fat, the blood of lambs and he goats, the kidney fat of rams. For the Lord holds a sacrifice in Bozrah, a great slaughter in the land of Edom. Wild oxen shall fall with him, young bulls with mighty steers. and their land shall be drunk with blood, for their soil shall be saturated with fat, for it is the Lord's day of retribution, the year of vindication for Zion's cause. Its stream shall be turned to pitch and its soil to sulfur. Its land shall become burning pitch, night and day it shall never go out. Its smoke shall rise for all time. Through the ages it shall lie in ruins. Through the eons none shall traverse it. Jackdaws and owls shall possess it. Great owls and ravens shall dwell there. He shall measure it with a line of chaos and with weights of emptiness. It shall be called No Kingdom Is There. Its nobles and all its lords shall be nothing. Thorns shall grow up in its palaces, nettles and briars in its strongholds. It shall be a home of jackals, an abode of ostriches. Wildcats shall meet hyenas. Goat demons shall greet each other. There too the Lilith shall repose and find herself a resting place. There the arrow snake shall nest and lay eggs, and shall brood and hatch in its shade. There too the buzzards shall gather with one another. Search and read it in the scroll of the Lord. Not one of these shall be absent, not one shall miss its fellow, for his mouth has spoken. It is his spirit that has assembled them, and it is he who apportioned it to them by lot, whose hand divided it for them with the line. They shall possess it for all time. They shall dwell there through the ages. Wow, what do you think he's talking about?
Which I mean, the whole chapter.
This description, when he says he's talking about judgment on Edom,
Right.
and he's talking about the destruction, the sword is going to come down upon them. But then he talks about the destruction of the land. He says, it is the Lord's day of retribution. This is verse 8. Its stream shall be turned to pitch and its soil to sulfur. It shall become burning pitch. Night and day it shall never go out. This almost sounds like a description of hell.
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah,
wondering if
well,
it's.
no one shall pass through it forever and ever.
Yeah. And it's the resting place of all these, goat
Yeah,
demons.
I don't, it's very confusing because it says, but the pelican and the porcupine shall possess it.
Yeah,
Also
it's
the
not that
owl and
it's
the
just.
raven shall dwell in it.
Yeah. But then in 14, it definitely it's getting into the demonic when it talks about goat demons and Lilith.
Yeah. Lilith.
Yeah, that's what it actually is in the Hebrew.
Hold on a second. Mine doesn't say that.
I know. What does it say?
The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the jackals, and the wild goat shall bleat to its companion. Also, the night creature shall rest there and
Oh, the night
find.
creature. Wait, the night
And
creature.
yeah, and find for herself a place of rest. That's Lilith.
There's
It's
a story
interesting.
there. I'll tell you why.
I thought that
Because
was apocryphal.
it is. It's part of that's the Agadah. That's what I mean. These stories, these apocryphal stories. The story is, and I'm surprised, the King James translators must have known the story because Lilith is this female sex demon-like that co supposedly comes to men at night
Oh no, I
to
thought that was a
masturbate.
succubus.
Well, it's Lilith too.
I thought Lilith was Adam's first wife or
First
something like
wife,
that.
yeah. But then
Oh,
when
okay.
that's who that was his first supposedly his first wife who became this demon character after she was I don't know the exact details. She was rejected or somehow that marriage came to nothing and then he was given Eve to be his wife. but from
And
his
then,
own body, as opposed to being another being.
and so now she's this night sexual creature like a succubus.
Yeah. And but I think it says Lilith in the Hebrew specifically. It's,
Oh, I didn't know that. See, that's what I find interesting. I thought
yeah.
that the whole thing was completely apocryphal,
Complete. Well,
if you know what I mean.
the details may be apocryphal.
But I even to the extent of the name.
Yeah, but the name is not. It's actually in the
Have you
Bible.
ever heard of what's it called, Carmen? Lilith Fair?
Yeah, I've heard of it
You
because
ever heard
some of
that,
the.
Carmen? It was the 90s thing. It was
Yeah.
all the female
Yeah, it was this.
musicians of the time, like Jewel and Sarah McLachlan and all that. They performed at this Lilith Fair.
Yeah.
That whole thing was satanic, probably.
It's
So you're saying that there's goats and
goatee.
satanic beings and Lilith, and she finds rest there. So yeah, it's obviously talking about hell, right?
I think it's going beyond. Yeah, it's quite an interesting description. It's sort of like the description of the king of some of these kings who that one that is actually like a description of Satan. You know, how art thou fallen from heaven, king of,
Yeah.
it's on the one hand, it's a description of an earthly king, and on the other hand, it's a description of Satan. Here you have a description of the judgment on Edom, and on another hand, it tends to be a description of hell, too.
Yeah.
And then verse 17, it says, it is he who apportioned it, this place he's talking about, to them by lot, whose hand divided it for them. They shall possess it for all time. They shall dwell there through the ages.
Yeah. That's really interesting. You got to slow down when you read these things, you know?
Well, that one was tough because you wouldn't pick it up in translation
Yeah.
easily.
I'm gonna have to read more about this Lilith thing. So yeah, that's
I don't
interesting.
know too much. I know about the story about Adam and supposedly this first wife. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to those stories. I think they were meant to bring out, to tie up some loose ends like that might otherwise raise questions, but I just like to stick to the scripture. But it is good to know about it, just like it's good to know about let's say folk tales in America, if you're studying American history. Because if you don't know what the folk tales are, then you're not going to understand any allusions that are made to them. If somebody's talking about a headless horseman or something, if you don't
Right.
know the story, it doesn't make any, you can't make sense out of what they're trying to be said. Same thing here. I think it's important to know
Yeah. So
the idea behind it, even if you don't
is
have to get
Lilith
it.
mentioned anywhere else in the scriptures?
I don't know, but
That's
I
what's
don't.
strange
That's
that they
the
would just
only
say.
place I know that it is. Maybe it is. You know why? It's an easy thing. Let me look it up. It's real simple. I'm going to get my concordance up. I'm going to look it up in the Hebrew and see how many times that word occurs.
That'd be interesting.
So it's in, let's see, which verse was that? It was 30. It's verse 14, 30,
Yeah, it was 34:14.
34, 14. So I'm going to go to Isaiah 34, 14. Isaiah 34, 14. And is Lilith. And it said, the translation says, a female night demon. Here's more. A female goddess known as a night demon who haunts the desolate places of Edom. And it references Isaiah 34, 14. In re late rabbinic literature, she is depicted as a creature with wings and long flowing hair. No doubt she personifies the night or sunset. In Ugaritic literature, she receives sacrifices and is invoked in a hymn, which calls her the Veiled Bride and Our Lady, the former epithet she shares with the Babylonian goddess Ishtar. Actually, these night spirits are to be correlated with the male Lilith. This masculine form covers both male and female genders, as explicitly stated in one of the many references contained in the Aramaic magical bowls. She appears as Lale in Linear A and as Ili in Phoenician incantation from Arslan Tosh. Isaiah, in his reference, does not encourage worship or respect for this demonic deity. The name may be used symbolically. Oh, wait, I lost it. Just a minute. I moved this thing. To depict the desolation. King James Version, I guess, screech owl. Is it not possible also that what was a night demon in the pagan culture was just a night creature, perhaps a bat or owl in Israel? Okay, speculation here too. Let's see if it occurs anywhere else. I'm going to look it up.
It's
Let's see.
interesting that they said the other demon has is like a transgender.
Yeah, there's another name.
There's an incubus, right?
John, you're saying that I don't have anything to. I don't know how much we can make. We can. I wouldn't go that far as to say that specifically. I don't even know what that is. Because I mean, there's stories about it, but. This is the only reference. I just looked it up. It's the only reference in the Bible to Lilith.
But see, that's why I think it's so interesting that although there are other things in the Bible that are only mentioned one time,
Once. Yeah.
but it's that's always mysterious when the Bible does that because you don't have any other reference to
Yeah.
go back
You
to,
can't
and it's
make any
just this.
comparison. The only thing you can do is as this commentator in the in my program here does is refer to far, pagan literature because that's where you'll see it, and some rabbinic literature, which is what I was referencing when I said I've not seen
That's
the
okay.
stories
No, that
not enough.
I just didn't know that that was
Yeah.
that's
I've lost you, John. Let me get
no,
back.
no. I'm sorry. I was just thinking. I was
Oh,
frozen in thought.
okay.
Anyway,
Oh.
thank you. No, I'm gonna have to think about this.
Yeah.
But anyway,
If I
very good
find
study,
anything
Dad.
else, I'll let you know. But that's all I know right now.
All right.
So,
Thank you, Dad.
okay, so we have finished up chapter 34. Is that the end? I want to try to get this right.
Yep. We are
Yeah,
on
okay.
35
So
next
we'll be
week.
in 35 next time. Okay.
Yeah.
Carmen, thank you for, I see you know you're there somewhere. Okay, I'm
Thank you, Dad.
waving. Take care, guys. Bye-bye. I'm gonna